talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long tongue liar. Go and tell that.
Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history, and we're going right to the front lines of history in the making. Big vote today coming up in the House. They're going to vote today to censure Paul Gosar of Arizona, the right-wing Republican nut congressman down there, who put out an animated video. It actually was a Japanese animated video, an anime, which he photoshopped it. And in it, it had him killing Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, his colleague, albeit a Democrat, he's a Republican in the House, and attacking Joe Biden with two swords. Now, let me tell you something. If somebody says, and I'm not talking just about Paul Gosar, I'm talking about you, me, anybody else, say, I would like to kill a member of Congress or the president, the Secret Service will have you in handcuffs that afternoon. When you put out an animated video doing that, and your expression is through animation and electronic, why is that any different? Why in Watergate, for instance, there was a burglary. There were people in the Democratic headquarters at the Watergate housing complex. And then the Russians hacked in 2016 and 2020. Why is stealing information in person as opposed to electronically different? In terms of opprobrium, in terms of punishment, why is it different? Why is saying, I want to kill Ocasio-Cortez and the president, or showing it in an animated video different? I don't think it is. I think he should have been arrested. Merrick Garland, now this is maybe down the list of what he's thinking about. I'd like to see Merrick Garland get a lot more aggressive, like a lot more aggressive. He could convene a grand jury on Trump for threatening the Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, in Georgia with criminal prosecution if he didn't forge 11,780 or so votes. He hasn't done that. He hasn't started any action around the country to stop Cyber Ninja audits, crooked audits, and turn over voting machines and original ballots to partisan hacks when he instructs clerks that they can't do it. If he indicted Paul Gosar for threatening the President of the United States with murder and another member of Congress, they would come back with an indictment and Gosar would be in front of a jury. Don't know why he doesn't do it. He's not doing it. Okay, well, he's not doing it. But Nancy Pelosi will do it, whatever she can. So they're going to censure him, and they are going to remove him from the Committee on Oversight and Reform. They have all these obscure committees. Every one of them thinks he's a lord or a duke, honest to God. And, you know, they should wear wigs. They should wear tight velvet pants. They roam around, and this one's a chair, and that one's a ranking member, and this one's this, and this one's that. Yeah, I get it that an organization needs that. This is going to their head a little bit. So this is the Committee on Oversight and Reform. They're not taking him off his other committees in this resolution, although they are censuring him, and he's one of a handful of members of Congress who have been censured over the last 200 years. It's a terrible stigma on his reputation, other than in the psychopath wing of the Republican Party, in which it'll be a badge of honor. The reason they're removing him from that one committee is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez also sits on it. And you should not have two people sitting together when one is threatened to kill the other one. I'm very surprised that Kevin McCarthy hasn't said, as bad as he is, as weaselly as he is, that he hasn't said, yeah, I think it'd be a bad idea to leave Gosar on that committee. And yeah, we should censure him. You can't have people killing each other. Kind of basic, you know, the bar's low, extremely low, the limbo bar. It's not a limbo bar. This thing is about half an inch off the ground. It's that low. So I expect that to pass. I expect it to pass with all Democratic votes and some Republican votes. Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger have already said they will vote to censure him. And they're not stripping him of his other committees. I don't know why. If Marjorie Taylor Greene gets removed because she threatened to kill Nancy Pelosi, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and didn't get prosecuted, and to this day, I don't know how that didn't happen. Should this guy get to keep staying on some committees when he, quote, only, end quote, threatened to kill another member of Congress and the incumbent president? I mean, the bar is low. The bar is low. It shouldn't be that low. But stand by. That vote will come out today. Very disturbing thing happening in Michigan. I want to alert you to this, to be aware of it, be vigilant that something like this doesn't happen in Wisconsin, which it can't because of our Constitution. But the Michigan Republicans have put in a raft of voting laws that will make it very, very difficult even to vote at all in the large urban districts like Detroit in Michigan. They are going, for instance, to eliminate 20% of Michigan's polling sites where you go to vote. 20%, one in five are going to get eliminated. Some cities will lose half of their sites. Some of them will lose every one of their sites. Every one of them. Because the bill says you can't use private property to vote on like churches. Now, look, in every state in the country, including this, I vote. My voting precinct is in a church on the east side of Milwaukee, St. Mark's. I voted there for decades. Great place. Very well done. Beautiful hall. You go in there and you vote. That happens all over the place. Or in private schools, parochial schools sometimes, and public schools. What they are going to say in this bill, what they have said in this bill, is you can only vote in a public civic institution, which would be like City Hall or, you know, that kind of thing. And they're not doing it for any special purpose. There's nobody says that there's fraud because churches are used to vote. Many of the people listening to this broadcast will vote in some kind of private facility, a school or a church. You don't all go down to City Hall. In fact, most of you don't go down to City Hall. Why are they doing this? Because in Detroit, what it'll mean is there'll be very few polling sites and a lot of people will go up and there'll be a line that's 5 hours long and they'll go away. Now you can say, okay, they passed this, but Gretchen Whitmer will veto it and they don't have a veto-proof majority. El wrongo, you're wrong. Why are you wrong? Because of a quirk in the Michigan Constitution that says they can bypass the governor and the veto power by putting out a ballot petition and getting 8% of voters to sign off on it. 8% of voters in Michigan, the 340,000 voters. They're more than that in the Republican Party in Michigan. They'll easily get 340,000 votes. And then what happens? It doesn't go to a general ballot that everybody can vote on. It goes to the legislature to vote on and, quote, approve it, end quote. And you have a gerrymandered legislature, like a Voss and LeMahieu Gableman type of situation over there. They're going to put this through. It'd be easy to get 8% of the voters in Michigan, 340,000 people. They can just get them among Republican Party members and fellow travelers and running dogs of the Republican Party over there. Then it'll go to their crooked, corrupt legislature who'll say yes. And then Detroit will lose every church where they vote in and every school that they vote in that's a private school, anything other than a civic institution. And there will be 5 to 8 hour lines for voting. This to me is clearly unconstitutional. It will be tested when it gets through in court. They better go into federal court, although the state Supreme Court over there isn't as stacked against us as ours is here. Why is it a violation of due process? Because, you know, the other side will go, well, it's states' rights, states' rights. You know, the states' rights, the 10th Amendment, and the whole Jeffersonian idea of states' rights is culturally embedded. It's not the due process clause of the 5th Amendment applies to the states through the 14th Amendment. You cannot burden voting and then suddenly eliminate where everybody votes in the large urban areas and create 5 to 8 hour lines. You can't do that. I think this will be struck down. In a larger sense, that is a crooked constitution they have in Michigan, to permit 8% of the voters to leverage it up to a crooked, corrupt, gerrymandered legislature where the governor can't veto it. Fortunately, there are federal courts, there are lifetime appointments. Unfortunately, a lot of them were appointed by Trump on the way out, but many of them have held fast and they've done the right thing. So that's what you have over there. And this is not the only thing they're passing. They're passing a whole raft of these bills by putting them in as ballot petitions. There will be instructions going out to every Republican Party in every county. Get your people, get their relatives. They'll get 340,000 votes in Michigan easily. Then it'll go to the corrupt gerrymandered legislature who will ram it through. This is not the only thing they're doing, but they're getting rid of 20% of the polling sites in Michigan. 1 in 5, getting rid of all churches, all private grounds where you vote. I have voted in a church for 20, 30 years, and it's terrific, and this should not be allowed to occur. Going to break, line's still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.